It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
You texted Ms. Page, quote, just went to a Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support. And smell is in capital letters, all capital letters. What does Trump support smell like, Mr. Strzok?
Sir, that's an expression of speech. I clearly wasn't smelling one thing or the other. What I was commenting on is living in Northern Virginia.
Well, earlier, you had texted Ms. Page on that another part of Virginia, Loudoun County, which is, I think, in Northern Virginia, is, quote, still ignorant hillbillies, end quote. Is that what you meant?
No, sir, not at all.
That you consider Trump supporters to be ignorant hillbillies?
Not at all.
All right, so that is just a glimpse. If you think that was interesting, you should have seen the other hours and hours and hours that Peter Strzok was in committee, the Judiciary Committee in the House, answering questions yesterday. I could not stop watching. I must have watched at least probably 3 hours of it and wished I'd seen every bit of it. It was an amazing hearing, and actually that's what I want to talk about today. And I'm going to open the phone lines in just a little bit. I'm hoping that you watched it, at least part of it, and I want to know what you thought about it. Remember that Peter Strzok is the attorney, the head of foreign intelligence at the FBI, who was given so much power. He was the one in charge of the alleged Russian collusion investigation into Donald Trump. He was also the agent charged with investigating whether Mrs. Clinton's email were improperly handled. When the email were found, when every single email that she had sent as the Secretary of State was found on Anthony Weiner's laptop inadvertently by New York FBI agents and police, that immediately came to Peter Strzok, and Peter Strzok did nothing. They say he slow-walked it. He did nothing. He finally came out with some, threw a bone to the investigation just a few days before the election, claiming that they'd looked into it and there was nothing. Well, now we know that's just not true. So while all this is happening, he's emailing with Lisa Page, who is his lover. He's married. I think she's married also. I know that he's married. And their text messages, of course, have become the stuff of a lot of discussion, because in those text messages, they have expressed their absolute hatred for Donald Trump and their expressed will to destroy his candidacy. And so it was interesting to hear Peter Strzok say, this is what he said, part of it, yesterday. Let me be clear, unequivocally and under oath, not once in my 26 years of defending my nation did my personal opinions impact any official action I took. That's part of what he said. And then I just want you to hear then, Daryl Issa and others decided that they would just, let's just hear those emails. Let's say, what was that? You said personal bias has not impacted my official action? Really? And so Daryl Issa actually invited Peter Strzok to read some of his email. That's clip 10. Let's listen.
I'm going to just go to a date and then ask you to read your own words. Ms. Page said, not ever going to become president, right? Right?
No, he's not. We'll stop it. What the F happened to our country, Lise?
Okay, read it again that way.
Sir, did you not? Was
no,
it not
I just
intelligible?
Wanted to hear it
you
one
just
more
want
time.
To hear it for yep. me to repeat it.
Please.
Okay, sir. Sure. I'm happy to indulge you.
Yeah, so you hear the smart aleckness instruct. I mean, honestly, it was unbelievable. I have to say, the body language. The expression, my husband and I were talking about it, and he said, no, are we sure we're not being, because we feel as strongly as we do about this whole situation, can we be objective? And yes, I do think I can be objective. I can generally tell when our side is presenting itself very poorly, at which our side is the side of truth. That's the side that I mean when I say that. And I think Peter Strzok is an absolutely abject liar. I could not believe it. The body language, everything he said yesterday. So I hope that you saw a part of it. And I really want to know, maybe you had a different opinion, and you're certainly willing. In fact, I'll invite you to express it in a few minutes. Whatever you think about it, we're going to talk about this. Trey Gowdy did a great job cross-examining him, as he always does. Let's listen to Trey talk to him about his alleged bias. This is clip six.
It was the existence of your bias that got you kicked off.
No, Mr. Gowdy, it wasn't. I do not have bias. My personal opinions in no way.
Well, then why did you get kicked off? Why'd you get kicked off?
Mr. Gowdy, my understanding of why I was kicked off was that based on understanding of those texts and the perception that they might create.
Well, hang on a second, Agent Strzok. Hang on a second. Perception.
Integrity.
You're saying it was the perception there are 13 Democrats on the special counsel probe, including one who went to what he hoped was a victory party. That's a perception problem, too. They weren't kicked off. You were. Why were you kicked off?
Mr. Gowdy, I cannot speak to Special Counsel Mueller's.
How long did you talk to him?
These reasons why he did or didn't.
How long did you talk to him when he let you go?
Witness answer the question.
Witness will be afforded the opportunity to answer that.
My recollection, it was a short meeting, somewhere between 15 to 30 minutes, probably around 15 minutes.
And your testimony is Bob Mueller did not kick you off because of the content of your text. He kicked you off because of some appearance that he was worried about.
Sure. My testimony, what you asked and what I responded to, was that he kicked me off because of my bias. I'm stating to you, it is not my understanding that he kicked me off because of any bias, that it was done based on the appearance. If you want to represent what you said accurately, I'm happy to answer that question, but I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed.
I don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. I don't appreciate having an FBI agent with an unprecedented level of animus working on two major investigations during 2016.
You know, the nut of that discussion, that I didn't explain it. I hope you figured it out by the time it was over with, is that Bob Mueller, you know, released Agent Strzok from the Russia, from the investigation that he was forming as a special prosecutor. And so Trey Gowdy is saying, no, you were released from there because of your bias. Oh, no, I wasn't. Oh, no, I wasn't. That's just not true. I resent the way you presented that. I was released because of maybe might have had the appearance of bias, but not because I was biased. I'm not biased. So that's the way. And, of course, you heard how Gowdy responded to him, and rightfully so. So then there are so many things to play. I wish I could play the whole thing for you. Trey Gowdy digs in a little further, and he talks about the email where Peter Strzok promises Lisa Page that we'll take care of it. Oh, no, he's never going to be president. We'll take care of it. And this is the exchange on that clip five.
What's the it?
Chairman
we'll
Gowdy.
We'll stop it.
Chairman Gowdy, that text needs to be taken in the context
I'm asking, look, if you want to have a debate over a two-letter word, we're going to have to do that some other time. What? And who did you mean by it?
Mr. Gowdy, as I've stated, that text was written late at night in shorthand.
I don't care when it was written.
About.
I don't care whether it was longhand, cursive. I don't care about any of that. I want to know what it meant, Agent Strzok.
It would be his candidacy for the presidency.
See, wasn't that tough?
And my sense that the American population
it's not that tough.
Would not vote him into office.
Right, right. Well, we hadn't gotten to the will yet.
Well, I'm trying to cut through the chase and explain the text.
The will is the American people. Is that right? That's your testimony. The will stop it. You were speaking on behalf of the American people. Is that correct?
Mr. Gowdy, what my testimony is and what I said during extensive asking of this question during my prior interview is I don't recall writing that text.
Are you denying writing the text?
What I can tell you is that text in no way suggested that I or the FBI would take any action to influence the candidacy of
Agent Strzok, that is a fantastic answer to a question nobody asked.
Yeah, Mr. Gowdy, you asked
what I meant. My question to you is the
wheel. Is going to be permitted to answer the question posed?
So your testimony.
His time has expired, Mr. Chairman.
Your testimony.
Like 2.5 minutes.
Weeks, it's going to be tough for me to get through it if I keep getting interrupted.
All right, there was Trey Gowdy, and of course that's what happened the entire time. You might wonder, well, what were the Democrats? Of course, the committees are. Because the Republicans hold a majority in the House, the way the system works in the House is that they have more members on each committee by one or two than the Democrats. They do it proportionately. So there were almost as many questions from the Democrats as the Republicans, but not quite as many. And actually, you know what? I tried to find I tried to find some of the questions that the Democrats ask, but you know what? They were so ridiculous. They were ridiculous. I couldn't find them. I found Jefferson. There was one clip from a Jefferson who serves, but I just didn't really, give an example of how outrageous it was. There's a woman who I'd never heard of before, Bonnie Watson Coleman. She's a congresswoman from New Jersey. She even called Strzok by the wrong name. It was pretty funny. I think she called him Strozik, Mr. Strozik, and she went on and on, but it seems like no one wants to re-air that because I guess it would look bad because she looked silly. And so we wouldn't want that, but that's really what I saw. We do have a bit of a montage. The Democrats basically responded by talking about how horrible Donald Trump is, and they gave details of that. They also had the theme of babies are being separated from their mothers right now, even as we speak, and we're wasting time doing this. So that was kind of the theme of the Democrats. Let's play clip 10 to give you just a taste of it. This is about all I could find.
This investigation is a joke. It's a fraud.
We should be honoring you for the work that you have done.
If I could give you a Purple Heart, I would.
Yeah, so that was the big one. This is Congressman Cohen. In fact, I think we have a longer clip of that where he says, you know, you deserve a Purple Heart, man, but for, you know, like soldiers who were in battle, fighting for their country and get wounded. Mr. Strzok, for all of your lying, and for all of your work to try to get Hillary Clinton elected, because that's what he was doing, he did not investigate her email. He put it in a little pocket, forgot about it till it was before the election, and just, gee, there's nothing to see there. And I'm going to tell you something in a few minutes that's going to be jaw-dropping, because there was a lot to see there. Meanwhile, he is doing everything he can to find something against Donald Trump. This is what Cohen says again. This is clip 11 about the Purple Heart.
Mr. Trump, I don't know where to start. If I could give you a Purple Heart, I would. You deserve one. This has been an attack on you in a way to attack Mr. Mueller and the investigation that is to get at Russia collusion involved in our election.
So there you go. You get an idea. And it was an amazing thing. Of course, Gerald Nadler is the minority leader in the committee. He's sitting next to Bob Goodlatte, who is the chairman. Bob's trying to run the meeting. Chairman Goodlatte's trying to run the meeting. And Gerald Nadler, if you watched it at all, you would see in the frame, Goodlatte sits in the high, you know, they're sitting in tiered seats, and Goodlatte sits in the center of the very top row. And Nadler sits to his left. So Nadler, you keep hearing noise, like someone talking through almost the entire hearing. And I mean, that was at various times various people, but almost all the time, it was certainly Gerald Nadler, who was like leaning over against Chairman Goodlatte with a running dialogue. And I found myself wondering, I have not asked anybody in Congress yet, I'm dying to do that, if he was not trying to get Goodlatte off his game and to lose his concentration. Because that's what he was just constantly, let me say, gosh, he made that thing, and then I have objected back, just constantly talking. Of course, the way it was reported yesterday, I tuned in on the 5 because I wanted to see what they had to say. And this is, we had a clip from it, but this is basically what they said. It was a circus. Democrats and Republicans both embarrassed themselves, especially Louie Gohmert. That's what Dana Perino said, because Dana, she's spot on. Listen, her analysis is hardly ever to be trusted, in case you ever wondered about that. Dana has terrible judgment. Maybe it's on purpose, maybe it isn't, I don't know. But when I tell you what Louie Gohmert actually said, he's being hit for, I'll show you in a minute, because it's pretty astounding, but it wasn't the real reason why he hit Peter Strzok, and the reason he hit Peter Strzok isn't being reported. CNN, their headline this morning is, Congress embarrassed itself during the Strzok hearing. You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is the way I've often said that there needs to be passion in Congress, in the House, and in the Senate, because there are things right now worth fighting for. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you saw the hearing and have a comment about it, we'd love to hear from you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki Addison of Erin the Addisons on Urban Family Talk. Family is so important to everything. I mean, think about it. Right after God created Adam, he made family by creating Eve as his wife.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference this summer. We'll have a full slate of experts to help encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family.
Our speakers include Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Schuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, and more.
We'll even be there.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference will be Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Come help us fight back against the enemy's direct attack on marriage and family. That's the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference put on by Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in the flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The debate over LGBT issues and same-sex marriage is causing serious problems in mainline Protestant denominations, from the Episcopalians to the Presbyterians and now the Methodist. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church is holding a special meeting next year to decide whether to change the church's belief that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. The fallout's already started. A conservative megachurch in Houston says it might leave the denomination, Windsor Village United Methodist Church, 18,000 members. Should they vote to leave, the church would be forced to give up all its property. I can't help but remember what President Obama told the nation after the Supreme Court redefined what God had already defined. He said that same-sex marriage would not have any impact on our lives, our businesses, or our religion. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Well, Louie Gohmert's taking a hit because according to Dana Perino and others, he embarrassed himself and embarrassed the Congress, and it was just a circus. What they missed was a bombshell that Louis Gohmert dropped. And it was this, that at the time of the investigation into Mrs. Clinton's email, they discovered, those that were looking at the email, discovered 30,000 email belonging to Mrs. Clinton as Secretary of State that were forwarded to an email that belonged to a hostile foreign entity, which was not Russia. And they were directly sent. They were sent in real time, 30,000 of Mrs. Clinton's email as Secretary of State. And Peter Strzok was informed of this. But you'll hear in this interaction between him and Louis Gohmert that he feigns that he doesn't quite remember that. But then, of course, Gohmert comes at him with something else, if you haven't heard it, I'm going to just let it unfold. Let's listen to clip one.
You said earlier in this hearing you were concerned about a hostile foreign power affecting our election. Do you recall the Intelligence Community Inspector General, Chuck McCulloch, having an investigation into an anomaly found on Hillary Clinton's emails?
I do not.
Well, let me refresh your recollection. The intelligence community, Inspector General Chuck McCulloch, sent his investigator, Frank Rucker, along with an ICIG attorney, Jeanette McMillan, to brief you and Dean Chappelle and two other FBI personnel that I won't name at this time about an anomaly they had found on Hillary Clinton's emails that were going to and from the private unauthorized server that you were supposed to be investigating. Now, do you remember it?
I remember meeting Mr. Rucker on either one or two occasions. I do not remember the specific content or discussions.
Well, I'll help you with that too, then. Mr. Rucker reported to those of you, the four of you there, in the presence of the ICIG attorney, that they had found this anomaly on Hillary Clinton's emails going through a private server. And when they had done the forensic analysis, they found that her emails, every single one except for four, over 30,000 of them, were going to an address that was not on the distribution list. It was a compartmentalized bit of information that was sending it to an unauthorized source. Do you recall that?
Sir, I don't.
Well, but he went on to explain it, and you didn't say anything.
No.
You thanked him. You shook his hand. But the problem was that it was going to an unauthorized source that was a foreign entity unrelated to Russia. And from what you've said here, you did nothing more than nod and shake the man's hand when you didn't seem to be all that concerned about our national integrity of our election when it was involving Hillary Clinton.
All right, let's go on. Because, see, here's the thing. The word that Louis left out in that, this is a hostile foreign power. Not the Russia, that these are sent directly to. Let's continue. Sorry, was it the audio bad, Adam? Was it not finished? Okay, let's go on with clip two.
The forensic examination was done by the ICIG, and they can document that, but you were given that information and you did nothing with it. And one of the things I found most egregious with Mr. Horowitz's testimony, and by the way, Horowitz got a call four times by someone wanting to brief him, leaving messages telling him about this, and he never returned the call. He had 500 pages of bias that he gave up. And then he threw a bone to the Democrats and said, but we can't find bias. And let me tell you, when you have text messages, Mr. Strzok, the way you do, saying the things you did, you'd been better off coming in here and say, look, that was my bias. And you kind of get around to that a little bit when you say, hey, you know, everybody's got political views. Those are called biases. And we all have them. And you have come in here and said, I had no bias. And you do it with a straight face. And I watched you in the private testimony you gave. And I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying. And he could probably pass a polygraph. No, the disgrace is what this man has done.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend for a moment.
There is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice system. And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
Credibility of a witness
shame
is always
on you,
an issue.
Mr. Chairman, this is intolerable harassment of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
Yeah, so, and it goes on and on. And did you notice the voices in the background? I told you Gerald Nadler never shut up. That was him. He's behind Louis Gohmert talking constantly to Bob Goodlatte, who's chairing the meeting. I really do think it was intentional, an intentional distraction to get Goodlatte off his game because they continually interrupt. They had nothing to say. The Democrats had nothing to say of substance. All they did was try to obstruct, and you heard it just there. All right, so Louis Gohmert then gets frustrated because if you see Peter Strzok's face in these hearings, he is absolutely the most pompous in every frame. You think maybe that was just a moment? It wasn't just a moment. He repeatedly tells the congressman what an important position he has at the FBI and how much he's in charge of. He laughs. He smirks. It is unbearable, really. And so Louis Gohmert finally lets him have it. He said, did you have that same look when you looked into your wife's face and lied to her about Lisa Page, your lover? So that's when the place disrupted, and that's what everyone's saying, that Louis Gohmert made it a circus. I think that's a fair question, honestly. I would have taken it further if I'd been Congressman Gohmert. I would have said, you know, so you did that with your wife, who is your most, you know, should be your most trusted relationship. You lied to her. So how can we believe anything that you say in this hearing? But instead, of course, he's interrupted and ridiculed. So this is now Peter Strzok answering this. As soon as he finishes, I'm going to go to the phone lines. This is Peter Strzok's answer to Louis Gohmert. Let's listen.
Sir, first, I assure you,
no question,
under oath, as I spoke also during my interview a week or two ago, I have always told the truth. The fact that you would accuse me otherwise, the fact that you would question whether or not that was the sort of look I would engage with in a family member who I have acknowledged hurting, goes more to a discussion about your character and what you stand for and what is going inside you.
It's to your credibility, and you lost your credibility.
Both individuals
have lost your credibility.
While I doubt it plays well to America, I'm not sure it plays well.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend. The witness has had ample opportunity to express his feelings about that, and now the chair recognizes
it. Mr. Chairman, there is a discussion about the representative's first assertion about what the ICIG said that I would like to respond to.
Very briefly.
Very briefly. I have no recollection of that conversation. I can tell you I am not a computer forensic expert. I can tell you that every allegation that we had, and ICIG was a great and close partner, every allegation that we had, whether from them or anybody else, was forwarded to experts who looked at it. The scores and scores of servers and BlackBerries and emails and everything we got were combed over carefully by the FBI's experts to see if there's any indicia of intrusion.
But you don't recall going over those emails, correct?
Gentlemen, we'll suspend.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you see, that's how it went. And, of course, you heard him say, I have never lied. I mean, how is that possible? We know he lied to his wife. We know he was carrying on this affair with Lisa Page. How could you say that? And that makes him a liar right there. So, all right, so there you go. That's a huge taste, just a tiny taste, really, of the hearing yesterday. And I want to know your thoughts. If you saw it, what did you think? 888-589-8840 is the number, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Kevin in Virginia. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Sandy. I just don't even know where to start. This person is such a despicable human being. I can't see how he even can look in the mirror. But the thing that I, two things that I've noticed. One is he acts like a man who knows that the fix is in, and no matter what he does, he's going to get off on it. And that's the big thing. The second thing is I found it very interesting when Mr. Gowdy asked him a question about an email, he said he didn't recall ever writing that email. But then right after that, in the same sentence, he said, you got to remember, it was late at night. I was tired. There was a lot going on. So he remembered everything about the time period of writing the email, but he didn't remember writing the email. The guy can't even stand. He can't even tell the truth when he's lying. He's got to tell lies about the lies that he made. And I don't know why anybody didn't pick that up and say, why? You remember everything about the time that you wrote the email, but you don't remember writing the email. To me, it was just an example of why this country's in the shape it's in. Those Democrats look like absolute scoundrels in there trying to defend this guy. Those jokers at the bottom, and then, of course, the typical characters that always you know, have an IQ of about a small animal.
Hey, Kevin.
I don't know how these people get elected.
Yeah, Kevin, let me ask you something. But first of all, let me underscore the point you first made, which I think is really true. He obviously looks like a man who knows he's going to get away with this. The fix is in. Nobody's going to bring me to account. And like he knows something that we don't know. There's this smirk like you you think you're going to get me, but you're not going to get me. I agree with you completely on that. Of course, the story's not over. We'll see what happens. But Kevin, I'm just curious. When you hear, like you see CNN's a headline, Congress embarrassed itself. We heard Dana Perino on The Five and other members of The Five. Greg was one of them, too. It was a complete circus. Both sides embarrassed themselves. What would you say to that? Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree in one count. The Democrats embarrassed themselves. I mean, they're pathetic. What the Republicans had to do was to fight through the Democrats' point of order and point of this and point of that, and they've got a little playbook that works for them every time. And the American public that only hears from MSNBC and CNN and all that think that these people are incredible. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that think that Strzok is a hero. But, to me, it was just, I confess I'm biased, but looking at the Democrats in that audience or in that council, whatever it's called, they were just repulsive. I mean, yeah. And one last thing, Sandy, I know I didn't answer your question entirely, but I would like to say this. This woman, whatever, Lisa Page, is not his lover. She is his concubine. And people, when they call, it's kind of like calling adultery just an affair. You know, it sort of lets it hang there a little bit and be a little bit okay. Let's call it what it is. She is a concubine, and he is a consummate liar, and his wife should not have a single thing ever to do with that guy again.
Yeah, Kevin. All right, thanks. Yeah, point taken. All right, Chris in Texas, your thoughts about it. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just thinking that it was really upsetting to me that Lisa was not deposed before she got to hear his testimony in this hearing. And is there going to be anything done about the fact that she didn't show up in her hearing and now she knows what his thought of is and can make it the same as what he was saying in the public hearing?
Chris, let me explain. Yeah, Lisa Page was his concubine, as Kevin would have me say. I don't know. They had an extramarital affair. She's an adulteress. That's no question about that. She's his adulteress, to be particular, and she refused to show up to testify before Congress day before yesterday. Just didn't show up. An FBI agent who defied the elected body in governmental pecking order, who has a right to ask her question. She defied that. And so Chris is just saying now she was able to hear her fellow adulterer's statements yesterday and now kind of match her testimony to his. And that's what Chris is pointing out. Chris, I've interrupted you. You have a minute more to make the rest of your point there.
I just feel like, again, it's just another thing that we see that, like he said, the fix is in. And that just shows me that, and I want to know if there's going to be anything done about it. Is Attorney General Jeff Sessions actually going to do anything that she didn't show up? I doubt it. And it just, the whole thing's upsetting, and it just seems like it's more corrupt.
Yeah, well, it is more corrupt. Chris, thanks a lot. But let me just interject. I don't think we can assume that nothing's going to be done. I guess maybe in that regard, I'm ever the optimist. For one thing, truth has a power of its own. And we heard a lot of truth yesterday, and we actually got to see Peter Strzok for ourselves with our very own eyes. Apart from the email, we got to see what kind of a man he is. When he talked about how the FBI's reputation hasn't been damaged at all. No, it hasn't. I've talked to agents in all 50 areas. Everybody, the FBI is wonderful. Their reputation hasn't taken a hit at all. Well, we know that's not true. I just talked to my husband, the former FBI agent. He was engaging with other former agents last night, and I'm sure there are disagreements. But for the most part, he said they're disgusted with Peter Strzok. They are embarrassed. And they feel like their agency has taken such a hit and they're angry about it. So that's the story I'm hearing. We'll be back with your comments right after this.
Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Sometimes there's a delay between crying out to God in prayer and seeing those prayers answered. It is imperative for us in those times that we don't waver in our confidence in our God. The next verse goes on to say, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." You see, the delay between supplication and delivered answer is one of the ways God develops endurance in us. He desires that the roots of our faith grow down deep, that we become trees planted by rivers of living water, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in His work. In this, we grow beyond superficial Christianity.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Are you caring for a vulnerable loved one? Maybe a special needs child or an aging parent or a spouse with a disability? Did you know that more than 65 million Americans are currently serving as a family caregiver? And the challenges can be brutal. I know. I've been a caregiver for more than 30 years. I'm Peter Rosenberger, and I host the nation's number one radio program for family caregivers. And we're thrilled to now be broadcasting live every Saturday morning at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump speaks truth to power, often with undiplomatic frankness. But by so doing, he exposes problems that are typically papered over or simply ignored, to the detriment of America's interests and security. Mr. Trump's current travels in Europe have provided a number of cases in point. He told the NATO allies that their defense spending is wholly inadequate. He warned about Germany's growing dependence for energy on Russia, the very country whose threat necessitates such increased expenditures. He pointed out that, quote, all this immigration has changed the fabric of Europe, unquote. And he criticized British Prime Minister Theresa May for wrecking negotiations over her nation's exit from the European Union, pursuing arrangements that will preclude a new free trade deal with the United States. Such candid, tough love is rarely welcomed, but a necessity for sound policy. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, a couple of things before we go back to the phone lines. Of course, the president is in Great Britain. Did you see Melania's dress? Let's talk about the important things. She looked like a fairy princess, just absolutely beautiful for that dinner with Theresa May last night. And then today, the president is taking Theresa May to task over Brexit, saying that the Brexit that she agreed to is so weak. And so now we are going to sort of withdraw some of our agreements with the EU because they are stabbing us in the back. And he reiterated the point that Theresa May's Brexit proposal is just ridiculously weak. He's right about that. We talked yesterday with my friend Katie in Great Britain, Katie Hopkins, who's a media personality in Great Britain yesterday. We talked at great length about that. So good for him. He's speaking the truth, continuing to do that. Let me just interject that your email and Facebook posts are very, very interesting to me. Let me invite you to go on our Facebook page, Sandy Rios in the Morning. By the way, you know that Facebook has, I would say, attacked a conservative so that when we post things, they don't automatically come into your feed anymore. It doesn't matter. They just don't. And so unless you go to our Facebook page, you won't see the things that we post. They've got a little tricky way of doing that. So they've really hit conservatives big time. That's the way they're trying to control the flow of information. They're doing their part to move the nation to the left. So Sandy Rios in the Morning is the Facebook page, and you might want to just make a habit of going there to see what we post every day so that because it probably is not coming in your feed. So thank you for your comments, and I do read and enjoy them very much, and it's interesting to hear you interact with each other. Now let me read a couple of things, a couple of email, because in the moments that I have here, and then I'll go back to the phone lines. This is from Michael. He said, well, Ms. Rios, they got Roy Moore, and looks like they're after Jim Jordan now. Yeah, I think that's true, but I have to say, Michael, the big getter hasn't weighed in yet, and that's God himself. And so that's the getter I'd be worried about. Yeah, they did get Roy Moore. That makes me sick. I don't actually think they're going to get Jim Jordan. I think the evidence is already just overwhelmingly flying back in the face of the false accusations. So I think that's going to fizzle. But I'm sure they'll come at him with something else. This is from Mark. He's correcting me my conversation about, I forgot who I talked to. But he says Germany doesn't get 70%, as Trump claims, but 40%, less than half of its gas imports from Russia. That is the most recent number, 2016, according to the Bundesverband der Energie und Wasserwirtschaft, Federal Association of Energy and Water Utilities. Contrary to what the president would like you to believe, Germany's energy dependency from Russia is actually down compared to 1995, when Russian gas imports from Russia were 47%. He gives more percentages. I'm really not sure why you keep misinforming your listeners. Where is your journalistic integrity? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Mark, here's the thing. I guess you weren't listening carefully, because what the president was talking about is what the numbers are going to be when the pipeline between Germany and England is finished. It's not completed. But when it's finished, they will be getting 70% of their energy from Germany. So that's the what. There's my journalistic integrity, just for your information. And so this is from Josh, always challenging me on most things. So Josh, here you go. He's asking me about the judges on the court. Roe versus Wade was not decided by liberal activist judges. The Supreme Court has had a Republican majority, justices appointed by Republicans, for nearly 50 years. In fact, when Roe was decided, the 7-2 decision, there were 6 Republican-appointed judges on the Supreme Court. 5 of them sided with the majority in that case. And then he goes on to tell me that this is Republican, therefore not liberal activist. And see, this is the thing, Joss, that you don't understand. I don't know. Really, you listened for a long time, and I'm not quite sure why you don't pick this up. Being liberal activist and being on the left really has nothing to do with party. I'm not fighting for a party. I'm fighting for a country. I'm fighting for the foundings, which I think are rich and unique and glorious. I think the founding of this nation is so unique and wonderful, and I think our Constitution is wonderful, our preamble, our Declaration of Independence. These are things to be proud of. I believe in truth, and so I believe there are a lot of Republicans who are liars. I think there are a lot of Republican judges who are liberal activists, and you better believe that the 7 judges that voted in Roe versus Wade back in 1973, when most states were appalled by that, were indeed liberal activist judges. It doesn't matter who appointed them. You can call them Republicans till you're blue in the face. That doesn't mean a thing to me. All right, so there you go. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Keith in Michigan. Good morning, Keith.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to introduce myself as that I served my country in the United States Army in South Korea. I have a love for the Koreans, and I'm similar to you. I've been with the Koreans, and great people. One thing about the Peter Strzok, be careful what you do, because your sins will be exposed sooner or later. And just like cockroaches, they seem to be scattering when the light gets turned on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm thinking of is that Trump must be getting wise counsel, probably from his wife, if saying that just stand back, and let it play out. Because if you get involved, people are going to say that you're at fault. You're the reason why that things are getting pushed off to the side. He's just standing back and watch it play out.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I my view on this, Keith, is that I don't really lay that wisdom at anybody's feet. I just think that God has interceded and shown his mercy in so many different ways. And I just pray that he continues to show it. And that's my view on this. I think the president has gotten a lot of things right, you know, just because God has been there. I'm not, you know, God uses the most unique people to do his will. And the story is God's story. It's not ours. I think God's people have been crying out to him for deliverance and for truth. We are sick of lies. We're sick of the corruption that we're just being swallowed and drowned in. And so I think God is actually sort of sick of it too. Now, I don't know how this is going to end. We don't know. Well, we do know sort of this is going to eventually, maybe another century or so or decade or maybe another millennia, it's not going to end well. But for right now, it could be that God is interceding. I think truth is really pretty powerful right now. The thing we have to do is pray for these congressmen because they are trying to operate in a cesspool. And it's really tough, boy, for the good ones. Just like Louis Gohmert, when he said what he did, somebody, one of the Democrats screamed out, "Take your medicine! What's the matter? You haven't taken your medicine today?" This is the kind of ridicule he gets. And then from like a Dana Perino, how disgraceful he was. That's the kind of ridicule you get. We could talk about, you know, Jim Jordan and the accusations against him. When you're a truth teller in Washington, you pay a huge price for that. And so we need to pray for them. And also, I would say from a practical level, I am praying that Congressman Jim Jordan becomes the Speaker of the House. Because part of the reason here is the House is operating in a vacuum. Paul Ryan has not exerted his authority. He's a passive bystander. He lets everything happen. He does nothing. And when it comes time to hold people in contempt or hold hearings that have any meaning or make people hold people's feet to the fire when they ignore Congress, where is he? He's absent. Oh, he'll say, oh, they, you know, Congress must be respected. Well, that's about as far as it goes. It's talk, talk, yap, yap, yap. And so people know that Jim Jordan will actually do something. That's why the left is coming after him. So that's the practical thing that I'm praying that will happen, that will put a finger in the dike of this this ridiculousness. Keith, thanks for your comments, and thanks for your service to this country. Let's go to William. Is it William in Georgia?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, William?
I'm doing quite well. You know, one of the biggest things that I don't understand is that, you know, these people really think that they're getting away with this stuff. Good morning. These people really think that they're getting away with all this stuff that's going on. Peter Strzok, you know, with the smirk on his face and everything. But realistically, ultimately, what they're doing is actually exposing themselves more and more, and they're making themselves more obvious to the American people. But my thing is, I wonder why they don't have something such as a polygraph test for these people that claim that they're telling the truth under the oath, you know, when we obviously know they're lying, seeing the fact that he committed infidelity with Lisa Page.
You know, William, the irony is not about the adultery with Lisa Page, but FBI agents have to have a polygraph. I think it's every maybe 3 years or 5 years. I'm not sure. And Peter Strzok didn't manage to pass his last time. That doesn't mean he failed, but he had some other designation, which meant that he should have lost part of his security clearance. So ironically, he didn't do so well on his last polygraph. Which covers a lot of things, not just that. So, you know, you can see that he's a liar. William, was that obvious to you? Did you watch him yesterday?
Yes, ma'am. I watched his whole demeanor as he was being grilled by certain people on there. And, especially when they actually called his number on a whole lot of things that we know that was obvious. And I watched his demeanor change. He looked like a deer caught in a car with headlights, according to me.
Yeah,
but in the same token, he was trying to play it off as though he was trying to be so poised, as though he was so innocent.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, I don't know who they think they're fooling with that, because American people are not fooled at all.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, thanks, William. Thank you so much. Let's go to Vince in Texas. Good morning, Vince. Quickly, if you will, Vince.
Hello.
We're ready, yes. And you're on, Mister.
Yes, ma'am. Our constitution is great, but our government is dysfunctional, and I have a solution for that.
All right. We're listening.
Okay. It's obvious that the government is dysfunctional, as evidenced by Comey saying what he said about the server and what the government oversight committee said about the that there is no bias.
Yes, now, ridiculous, huh?
Yes, the solution is listen to Trump, because he makes sense, his facts are correct, and his conclusions are correct. So I highly recommend listen to Trump.
Okay, Vince, we're going to send you to England to speak for those crowds that are protesting against him being in London right now. Because, you know, I think you're right. I think that's why people like Trump so much. He is so plain-spoken, and they're tired of the nonsense and the noise that has become the norm for too many decades, certainly in Washington and on our television screens every night with all these pundits talking about all of this stuff. You know, they just talk, 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 and we get tired of it. And I think we've reached saturation points. So just some even uncareful honesty, blows over us like it's refreshing, like water. Vince, thanks. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Nels in Texas. Good morning, Nels.
Hi, how you doing, Sandy?
Thank you
for taking my call. I'm just mesmerized how this individual can be caught on national TV. On these hearings, caught lying, being biased, with a smirk in his face, and you can tell that he did not his duty when he was supposed to be doing the investigation, and this guy is just going to get away with all of this. I just can't understand that.
Well, don't say that. Listen, we don't know that. The story's not over yet. I'm not willing to concede that. I remember with General Flynn having a sort of a conversation with him indirectly and just saying the story's not over yet, sir. The story is not over yet. And so that's what I would say to you too, Nels. The story is not over yet.
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah. Let's go to Anthony in Arkansas. Anthony, you have the last word, sir.
All right. Hey, I saw some of the coverage, and I just wanted to say my favorite bit, what I thought was the most accurate bit, and of course I'm paraphrasing now because I don't remember exactly what he said, but was when Strzok pointed out that he was one of the few people in America that knew that Donald Trump was under investigation during the campaign, and if he really wanted to tank the candidate's campaign at that point, all he would have had to do was come forward with that information, and he didn't. So in a very large sense, there's a reason that he was smirking throughout that entire whatever you want to call it there. So thank you. You have a great day and good luck.
Yeah, okay, Anthony. Thanks a lot. Yeah, he did say that. I mean, I don't quite understand that, because certainly he was busy I don't understand why that's such a badge of honor for him, because he was busily doing everything he could to tank Donald Trump as a candidate first and then as a presidential candidate long after he had no business doing that. In fact, remember, he was texting with Lisa Page that he wasn't sure if he was going to go work for the Mueller team because he was afraid that there wasn't enough there. In other words, there wasn't enough to actually say that Donald Trump had been colluding with the Russians. And so he hated to leave his career with the FBI and go take a chance with this Robert Mueller investigation because there wasn't enough evidence. And yet, so he's nevertheless, he hates Trump, but he's trying to do everything he can, like to Lisa. We'll stop it. No, we'll stop it. At the same time, he's not doing anything to stop Mrs. Clinton, who has, for whatever reason, been sending thousands of emails to foreign hostile powers when she was at the State Department. That's very scary, and somebody better say something about that besides Congressman Gohmert. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.